Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. In today's episode, I want to talk about the oil price cap and the European ban on Russian purchases of oil, which have both now come into effect as of December the 5th. So this is a big sea change in terms of the financial sanctions that are being applied against Russia. Up until this point, European countries could still freely buy Russian oil. There was obviously an implication from most countries that they didn't want to. Voluntarily, they wanted to stop buying it. But because of the physical practicalities of being able to find new suppliers for large volumes of oil, over the course of the last 8 months or so, a lot of European countries have continued to purchase the oil. But as of the 5th of December, things have now officially changed. So we are now officially into the second phase of these financial sanctions. So in today's video, I'll go through exactly what the oil price cap states. So we'll look at the details of that, what the price is, how it's going to work, and what the impact of that is going to be on Russia. We'll look at the EU ban and what the implications of that are going to be, both for Russia and for Europe, because obviously there's a price issue for the European side of this equation, because the reason that they've been buying Russian oil is that it's the cheapest in the market. It's the closest in terms of proximity, and it's also been provided by pipelines for a lot of countries. So we'll have a look at the implications of that. We'll then look at what's going on with regards to oil prices, because if you've been following the channel, you'll know that immediately following Russia's invasion of Ukraine, there was a big increase in oil prices. But actually, oil prices have been coming down over the last few months as a result of the global slowdown. So we'll look at where prices are right now. We'll then look at Russian oil prices, because they've been tracking at a lower level than general oil prices. So we'll see where they've been over the last few months compared to this oil price cap. We'll have a look at what Russia's response has been to the announcement of the oil price cap. And then we'll talk about India and China, because they are the two biggest markets that Russia is targeting. And we'll talk about what the implications of this price cap are for those sales. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summaries. So what I think is going to happen over the course of the next 3 months with regards to the oil price cap, the EU ban, the implications on the Russian economy, the European economy, and the global economy. So normally this would be the point when I'd ask you for a thumbs up and to support the channel. I'm not going to do that, so let's move on. As of the 5th of December, the European Union has introduced an outright ban on the purchase of all Russian crude oil that's delivered by the sea. Up until this point, the only countries that had introduced an outright ban on the purchase of oil were the USA, Canada, the UK, and Australia. But now we've got another 27 countries added to this list. And for anybody watching who's not aware of who the 27 countries in the EU are, and I would bet that that's most people, they are, in alphabetical order, Austria, Belgium, Bulgaria, Croatia, Cyprus, Czech Republic, Denmark, Estonia, Finland, France, Germany, Greece, Hungary, Ireland, Italy, Latvia, Lithuania, Luxembourg, Malta, the Netherlands, Poland, Portugal, Romania, Slovakia, Slovenia, Spain, and Sweden. So all of those countries, with the exception of Hungary and the Czech Republic, have now stopped buying all Russian oil. And this will definitely have a big impact on Russia's revenues and its economy. Because even though most of these countries have expressed an intention of stopping buying Russian oil, over the course of the last 8 months, there has still been a high degree of purchases. And in October, Russia was still supplying more than 1.5 million barrels of oil per day to Europe. Now, if you've been following the channel for the last few months, you'll be aware that the Ground News website and app have been a really useful source of information when hunting around for stories to share with you guys. Now, one thing that I really like about Ground News is that you can check out the reporting bias of that news source. So you can see whether it's reporting from the left, from the right, or from the centre. And that's been really useful to me when looking at stories related to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Another feature that I really like and find fascinating is that you can check out the ownership of the news sources themselves. So you can see from these articles on the oil price cap that Reuters is owned by a private equity firm called the Woodbridge Company. WKMG is owned by media conglomerate Graham Holdings. And City News is owned by Telkom Roger Communications. And you can also check out the level of factuality that's related to all of those different news sources. So go to ground.news/JoeBlogs to check out the Vantage subscription, which gives you access to all of the features we've just talked through. And you can access that by clicking in the link below. So alongside the European Union ban, the G7, which historically were the seven largest economies in the world, they're not actually the seven largest anymore because China is now number two and India is number six. But the G7, which consists of the USA, Japan, the UK, Germany, France, Italy and Canada, have announced alongside Australia that a price cap of $60 per barrel will now be imposed on all Russian oil that's being exported to all non-EU countries and non-G7 countries. So what this means is that countries that are currently buying Russian oil can continue with those purchases without any fear of secondary sanctions being applied against them. But those deals must be agreed at a price no greater than $60 per barrel. And the way that this will be enforced is through the shipping and insurance of that oil, because the vast majority of shipping and insurance companies are based in the G7. Because of the fact that Europe and North America have a long-standing history of shipping, they dominate those industries. And Russian companies will find it very difficult to be able to firstly find the number of ships that they need to move all of this volume of oil, and secondly, to find all of the insurance. And this is really important because if you're putting millions of barrels of oil onto a major tanker, it needs to be insured. Firstly, if that tanker goes down in the middle of the ocean, somebody needs to pay for all of the costs to recover that and to clean up all of the environmental damage. And secondly, and most importantly, all of the ports that are receiving that oil need that ship to be insured, because if there is some sort of problem, if there's an accident in the port which results in a massive leak of oil and damage to that port, then they need the insurance company to move in and cover the cost of the cleanup operation, which needs to be done as quickly as possible to keep that port open and operational. So it's a really important part of the shipping of oil to make sure that you've got all of the paperwork in place to be able to allow that ship to dock at the port that it's going to. So this is a really critical issue for Russia. And I've talked about this before. One of the problems that it faces is that there simply aren't enough ships at the moment to be able to move the volume of oil that Russia is looking to switch away from Europe into the Asian markets. Because although there is a pipeline that exists between Russia and China, there isn't any spare capacity in that oil pipeline to send more oil down it. So Russia will need to construct new pipelines if it wants to send larger volumes to China via pipelines. So in the short to medium term, so over the next 18 to 24 months, the only option that Russia has is to put all of this oil onto ships. And a lot of the ships that it needs to charter are owned by companies that are from the G7. So this is a real problem for Russia. Now, in terms of the details of this price cap, you might be asking the question, well, what happens if the price of oil falls below $60 per barrel? That just eradicates this price cap. It takes it out overnight. So there is a mechanism that's been included that says that if the price of oil does fall, then the price cap will be set at a level 5% below the current market rate. So there is always going to be a discount applied to Russian oil, even if the price of a barrel of oil dropped to $45 or $40 per barrel. So in terms of the relevance of $60 per barrel, I thought it'd be useful to have a look at what's been happening to oil prices over the last 12 months and see exactly what prices are doing today. This chart shows the movement in the price of a barrel of Brent crude oil, which is the US-based oil, over the course of the last 12 months. And if you've been following the channel, I'm sure you'll be familiar with the shape of this graph. We saw a large increase in the price of oil directly following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And at one point, it was up above $120 per barrel. And at that stage, there was mass panic in the markets. And a lot of commentators were saying that the price could actually get up to $200 per barrel. Thankfully, it never got to those levels, but it did remain very high for the first 4 or 5 months of the conflict. And despite coming down in April and May, we saw the price of a barrel of oil going back above $120 per barrel on the 9th of June. However, since that time, prices have fallen significantly, and this is as a direct result of the global slowdown. The continued impact of high oil prices alongside high commodity and food prices drove up inflation all across the world, and as a direct result of that, central banks started to increase interest rates to try to quell demand and bring prices back down. And as they did that, that caused a lot of economies to start slowing down because people were having to pay more for their debt, and therefore they had less disposable income, they were spending less, and therefore GDP started to reduce. And you can see that between the middle of June and the end of September, the price of oil fell from $120 per barrel to around $80, so a significant movement. And the huge price decline caused concern amongst the oil-producing nations. So OPEC then announced that it was going to start reducing the amount of oil that it was producing to try to bring prices back up again. And at the start of October, we saw prices move back up towards $95 per barrel. However, the continued slowdown of the global economy and concerns over the Chinese economy specifically have driven down demand for oil, and prices are now sitting at around $85 per barrel, which is a lot lower than $120, but is significantly higher than the $60 per barrel price cap that's now being imposed on Russian oil, which represents a discount to the current market rates of around 30%. So Russia is now facing the prospect of having to sell its oil in the international markets at a major discount to the market price. However, if you've been following the channel, you'll know that that's exactly what Russia has been doing over the course of the last 8 months. In order to encourage buyers to actually take Russian oil, they've had to reduce their price compared to what the market rates are. And this chart plots the price of Russian Urals oil over the course of the last 12 months. So you can see that the shape of this graph is quite different to what we just saw for Brent crude oil. For Brent crude, we saw a large increase directly after Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Prices remained high for around 4 months, and then we saw a gradual decline. The price chart for Russian oil shows that immediately after Russia's invasion, there was a massive decline in the price being achieved for Russian oil sales, with the price moving from a high of $111 per barrel on March the 8th to a low of $67 on April the 25th. And this was during the period when a lot of countries came out and stated that they didn't want to buy Russian oil, and there was a huge wave of negative sentiment against Russia. However, the market rate for Brent crude oil on the 25th of April was above $100. So the price that Russia was offering represented a discount of around 33% against market rates. And that discount proved to be very attractive to countries like China and India. And both of those countries took advantage and started to buy Russian oil. And the increase that you can see in prices between the 25th of April and the start of June represents the period when market prices for Brent crude were also increasing. So what we're seeing here is an establishment of the concept of Russian oil being sold at a discount, and countries like India and China being happy to take larger volumes. Now, over the course of the last few months, prices for Russian oil have come down in line with the general reduction in oil prices that we've seen in the global economy. And you can see that the current price of a barrel of Russian oil is trading at around $69, which represents a discount of around 17% against Brent crude. And this chart shows the difference between the price of Russian oil and Brent crude over the course of 2022. So you can see that at the start of the year, there was very little difference between the two. However, following the invasion, the price of Russian oil fell dramatically, and at one point was trading at a discount of almost 40% versus Brent crude. Now, over the course of the last 6 months or so, the level of discounts have started to reduce and are now sitting somewhere around 22 or 23%. So the current level of discount that the $60 oil price cap would imply is around 30%. So the price will be slightly lower than what Russia has been achieving over the course of the last couple of months, but it's not a million miles away. So what we're seeing here is basically an institutionalization of this discount. It's allowing all of the countries who've been buying all of this oil from Russia over the last 6 months to continue benefiting from this discount on an officially approved basis. Now, in terms of quantifying the impact of this oil price cap, I thought it was worth looking at the oil volumes that Russia are selling. This chart shows the volume of Russian seaborne crude oil exports and the split of the countries who are buying. So you can see that back in January, before the invasion started, Russia was selling around 3.2 million barrels of oil per day, and around 1.7 million of those barrels were going to EU countries. So these sales are included in the large other section at the top of this chart that covers most of the European countries, and then we've also got Bulgaria, the Netherlands, and Italy. If you then look at the situation for October, you can see that the total volume was around 3.1 million barrels per day, but the makeup of the countries that are now buying Russian oil is entirely different to what it was back in January. The two largest buyers by far are China and India, followed by Turkey, who's a long-standing ally of Russia. And through the course of this conflict, President Putin and President Erdogan have had meetings where they've stated that they want to increase the amount of trade between the two countries. So it's no surprise that Turkey is buying more oil directly from Russia now. Italy's the next on this list, which is slightly surprising because Italy is a member of both the G7 and the European Union. It's one of the biggest economies in the European Union. However, one of the biggest refiners in Italy is owned by a Russian company, and it's been using that refinery to import a lot of Russian oil. So that will now have to stop as part of this EU ban. So Russia will be losing those sales. The next largest purchaser is the Netherlands. And the reason that these purchases are so large is that the Netherlands operates as a middleman. It buys in a lot of oil, it refines it, and then sells it on to other countries. So it's been taking the opportunity to buy Russian oil at a discount over the course of the last 6 months or so. Obviously, all of those purchases will now have to stop as part of the European Union ban. And then we have smaller purchases from Bulgaria, South Korea, and the rest of the world. Now, in terms of quantifying the impact on the revenue for Russia, if you're selling 3 million barrels of oil per day, and the price of those barrels is $100, just to keep things simple, because that's where the prices have been over the course of the last 6 months or so. 3 million barrels per day at $100 means that you're earning $300 million per day for the sale of that oil. And on an annualized basis, that would equate to around $110 billion of revenue. So this is obviously a significant amount of cash. So if we apply the $60 price cap to the 3 million barrels per day, that equates to $180 million per day of revenue versus $300. So $120 million shortfall. And on an annualized basis, that equates to around $65 billion versus $110 billion. So we're talking massive drops in revenue from Russia's perspective. Now, obviously, the oil price has come down anyway, so it's not at $100 right now. It's more at $85. But it gives you the flavor as to how much revenue Russia is going to lose as a direct result of this oil price cap. And that's going to hurt the Russian economy. So you may be asking the question, how much does it cost Russia to produce a barrel of oil? How much profit will they make from selling at $60 per barrel? Well, it's difficult to be able to put an exact figure on it because no country publishes its costs. It's difficult also to work them out because you've got historic costs. So you've got things like the establishment costs that you have initially when you set up an oil field. And that money is what's called a sunk cost. So once you've invested it, the money is gone. So you don't really account for that. You can work it out on a long-term basis if you put it onto your balance sheet and try to repay it over a long period of time. But the benefit that Russia has with a lot of its sunk costs, the historic costs, is that many of those were paid by its international partners, such as ExxonMobil, BP and Shell, who came in, paid those costs to set up all of these facilities. And obviously, most of those companies have now exited from Russia. So they've walked away from their investments. So Russia have been given some free equipment, basically. So it's very difficult to work out the exact cost. But in order to give you a flavor of how much it does cost to produce a barrel of oil, I thought it was worth sharing with you some analysis that was done on the estimated cost of a barrel of oil in 2040. This chart was published recently by S&P Global, which is a fantastic source of really interesting information. And it shows the estimated cost curve for new global crude oil supplies for 2040. So this is a long-range forecast, looking at how much it costs various countries to produce oil. And the way that this chart has been represented, it's based on BEP. And you know that I hate jargon. BEP stands for break-even price. So that's looking at the base cost of this oil, what these countries would need to receive back just to break even, to make no profit whatsoever. And the way that this chart has been constructed, the different coloured bar charts represent different parts of the world, because the cost of producing oil obviously varies depending on where that oil is, whether it's onshore or offshore, whether you're having to set up deep water rigs, operate in Arctic environments, all of those sort of factors. So you can see here that the region with the lowest cost is the Middle East, and the break-even price in the Middle East ranges from between $5 per barrel up to $50 per barrel. And the average break-even price is something in the region of $20. Brazil is shown here in the large blue section and has a break-even price ranging between $17 and $65, so obviously a huge range. And the average is coming in around about $40 per barrel. The United States is shown in dark green and has an estimated break-even price ranging between $12 and $75, with an average of around $40. Norway and the United Kingdom have an estimated break-even price ranging between $15 and $88, massive range, with an average estimated price of around $45. And Russia, which is shown in green here, has an estimated break-even price ranging between $18 and $65, with an average estimated price of around $40. So as I said, it's very difficult to be able to put an exact figure on the actual production cost of a barrel of oil. But you can see from this analysis that it's estimated that the production price in Russia ranges somewhere between $20 and $60, with an average of around $40. So a sales price of $60 per barrel will give them profit on an average basis, but potentially it could mean that some of the production facilities, so the more expensive facilities, maybe in the Arctic area where costs are much higher, potentially the $60 per barrel price could mean that they're not making any profit at all on those sales. And as I mentioned earlier, the price cap mechanism will actually move depending on what the market prices are. So if we do see a global recession unfolding in 2023, prices could come back down to around $50 per barrel, which would mean that Russia's price cap would be set at below $50 per barrel. And this could potentially therefore increase the amount of production that becomes non-profitable for Russia. Now, not surprisingly, Russia have come out in response to the oil price cap and said that they will not supply any countries that want to sign up to this price cap. So essentially, they've thrown down the gauntlet to the G7 and Australia and said, you can impose your cap if you like, but nobody is getting any Russian oil if they sign up to this. And this is going to be a really interesting game of cat and mouse, because Russia can threaten to not supply anybody that signs up to the cap. But if all of the countries of the world actually agree to do this, Russia is going to be in a very difficult situation. Because as I mentioned a number of times on the channel before, Russia is set up to produce around 10 million barrels of oil per day. That's its capacity. And if it can't sell 10 million barrels of oil per day, it's going to have to cut that production because it doesn't have anywhere to store it. So Russia desperately needs to keep finding markets to move this oil onto, because if it can't, it will have to cut production, and that could cause major production problems in the future, because the last thing that you want to do when you've got your oil rig set up and the flow is coming out is to stop that flow, because that will then cause backlogs, jams, and all sorts of major issues. So Russia can't afford to lose these markets. So saying that they won't provide oil to anybody that's signing up to the cap really looks like a bluff, because if everybody in the world signed up to the cap, they really wouldn't have a choice other than to cut their noses off to spite their face and cause themselves major problems. Now, from the buyer's perspective, there is a really interesting dynamic going on here. And let's talk about India and China, because they are the two biggest markets. If India signs up to the oil price cap, the benefit that it has is that it can then officially buy Russian oil for $60 per barrel. And there is absolutely no risk of any secondary sanctions being applied against the country. However, if India decides that it doesn't want to comply with the oil price cap, it wants to go against the G7 and Australia on this, it then could definitely expose itself to secondary sanctions. So if it buys oil at $70 per barrel, for example, then the G7 could legitimately say to India, you're now in contravention of the oil price cap. We've put this in place to encourage Russia to stop the war in Ukraine. That's why we're doing it. We're not doing it because we don't like Russia. We're doing it to stop this war. And the fact that you've now bypassed this sanction means that we may now apply secondary sanctions against you. So all of the G7 could then say to India, we're going to stop buying all of your exports and we're going to restrict the amount of exports that we send to India. So this could cause major problems for India, because India's major trade partners are the rest of the world. It's not Russia. Russia represents a relatively small portion of India's exports, and the main products that it's buying from Russia are oil. So India could cause itself a major problem by looking to avoid the oil price cap. So there's nothing really in it for India, and the same applies to China. It's actually beneficial for both of those countries to agree to the oil price cap, because they can officially then buy that oil at a lower price, and everyone's a winner. The only real loser here is Russia. And Russia is sitting between a rock and a hard place, because whilst it doesn't want to sell that oil at a discount, it needs to keep those volumes moving. So it needs India and China, because they represent the biggest markets. And if India and China sign up for this price cap, there's really nothing that Russia can do about it other than to send that oil at the $60 per barrel price. And when you look at the discounts that it's been selling at, it's actually in the same ballpark as the prices that they've been achieving over the last 6 months or so. So whilst Russia obviously don't want to sign up to the oil price cap, it looks like they won't really have much choice. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because we've talked about the oil price cap and the EU ban for a long period of time. These things have been in the offing since Russia's invasion of Ukraine started. But we've now actually got to the point where they're both in effect. And this is going to cause major problems for Russia. The EU ban is definitely going to lead to a big fall in revenues, because around 1.5 million barrels of oil have been sold into Europe over the course of the last 8 months. Even though Europe wanted to stop buying Russian oil, it couldn't actually do it. It took a long time to put replacements in place and for people to wean themselves off Russian oil. But it's now official. The ban is in place. So those sales will disappear immediately. And Russia is going to struggle to be able to replace them because of the logistics. They need to find a large volume of ships. If you follow my channel, you'll know that I recently posted a video talking about the shipping dilemma for Russia and the fact that they need to find hundreds of tankers that simply don't exist right now, because a lot of the rest of the world have been looking for tankers, because as we've seen changes in the global supply chain, Europe has been importing more oil from the rest of the world, and so all of these tankers are already chartered and full. So it's going to be a real challenge for Russia to be able to find the ships to be able to move it. They then need to agree the deals with all of these different countries, and the oil price cap is going to cause them further problems, because even though they've been selling at a discount anyway, the new cap is going to represent a discount of around 30%. And Russia had actually been reducing the level of discounts. From the graph we saw earlier, it had got to around 22%. So this is resetting the discount level back to 30% and is going to cause a big reduction in income. Now, clearly, Russia is very unhappy about this situation, and it's made a number of threats that it will stop supplying any country that signs up to the oil price cap. But the oil price cap is actually a benefit to all of these countries, because it means that they can officially get oil at a big discount to the market rates. So as we go into a global recession, this is actually quite attractive for every other country in the world apart from Russia. And as we discussed earlier, Russia doesn't really have the luxury of being able to switch off all of its supplies and say, well, we'll just keep all our oil to ourselves, because that would cause it major production problems in the future. And the problem that Russia has right now is that it's cut its ties with all of its partners. So we've seen BP and Shell and ExxonMobil exit from the country, and we've also seen Russia losing access to technology. So the last thing that it wants to do right now is cut all of its own production and have to rebuild all of those facilities at some point in the future, because it can't access the technology and it can't access the expertise. It doesn't have the partnerships to be able to work through any major problems. So this is a really risky period from Russia's perspective. We could see major problems in Russian oil production over the next couple of years anyway, but if it has to reduce the amount of its output, that's going to make things even worse. And so Russia is really walking a tightrope in terms of its production. So I think the overall summary of today's video is that we've now seen a sea change in the sanctions against Russia. The EU ban and the oil price cap will definitely hurt Russia. It's going to reduce the amount of revenue that it's earning from oil, and that's going to cause problems in the economy because Russia's already in recession. It relies upon oil. It's its single biggest export, and this is the biggest blow that Russia has seen since the start of the Ukraine war. So over the course of the next 3 to 6 months, it's likely that Russia will go further into recession, that it will suffer more pain, and that's going to cause major problems. Now, in terms of the European and the global economy, unfortunately, there are also problems. The reason that Europe has continued buying Russian oil over the course of the last 6 months is that it's the cheapest in the market. And everybody wants to buy cheap oil because it keeps your prices down. The fact that the ban is now in place means that all of Europe is going to have to buy other oil from other countries, and that's going to be more expensive. So we're going to see further price pressure, possibly further inflation pressure. And this is coming at a time when a lot of economies have got really high inflation already, and we're seeing countries on the verge of recession. So this could actually accelerate that recession. We could see a recession being announced in Europe over the course of the next few months. And of course, that will impact on the global economy because, as I've said a million times before, the whole world is interrelated. So if Europe is going into a recession stroke depression, then that's going to have a knock-on impact to everybody else. And it's likely that we're going to see a major global slowdown and a global recession. So unfortunately, there's no good news coming out of this video. Now, you may be saying there's no good news coming out of any of my videos, but I just wanted to tell you as it is to inform you that the oil price cap and the EU ban is now officially in place, and there are going to be major repercussions for Russia, Europe, and the rest of the world over the course of the next 3 to 6 months. Hopefully you found today's video useful, informative, and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up. And thank you so much for watching this video all the way through to the end.